Hey everyone, this is Ashley, producer of the OpStars podcast. Today we're bringing you a special episode featuring a live session recorded at OpStars 2023 in San Francisco. Enjoy.
So I'm Caitlin Seeley. I lead the digital marketing team over at Drift. And today we're going to talk about a really popular topic right now, I think, which is personalized buying experiences, right? So I'm sure I don't have to tell any of you guys here today that go-to-market teams are busier than ever, right? Especially today, right? We're getting asked to do more with less. In fact, 74% of businesses who do advertising today say that the current economic situation means that they're having to cut their budgets, right? They have less resources to do the kinds of work that they want to do. I'm sure that's something a lot of us can relate to in this room. However, 42% of marketers on go-to-market teams are saying that the number of campaigns they're running are actually increasing year over year as they're pulling out all the stops to make the most with what they have, right? You know, they're really, really trying to hit their goals, but that's not a winning game for anybody, right? Increasing the quantity of your activity is not necessarily going to move the needle in terms of the quality of the conversions taking place on your website or the kinds of conversations happening with your sales and customer success teams. It's kind of a lose-lose situation. So one of the things we want to talk about today is that we kind of need to just stop trying to do it all from a go-to-market perspective and bring some focus to our work. And that's where a personalized approach go-to-market comes into play. It kind of admits that, hey, we can't do it all at once, so let's all sit down and focus on our best buyers and do what we can to pull off the stops for a smooth go-to-market process for our targeted customers and our best buyers. It's really going to be focusing on maximizing and empowering buyers to get the information that they want and need at every single stage in the buying journey. And if you take that buyer-centric approach, the conversation starts to change in terms of what should I be prioritizing and what should I be doing on my team. So to get there, we're going to talk about how you can create that focus on your buyer. We're going to start by just outlining how to define the actual buying journey today, and then actual tips that you can go back and take home for aligning your go-to-market teams behind it. And we'll end with what I think is the fun stuff with how to actually deliver this personalization, but I'll save those details till the end. So to start at the beginning with the buying journey, we're going to go back to marketing and sales 101 for a second, and we're going to start with the who, right? And you want to define the who you're trying to target at both the account level and the persona level. The two are different and both very important because they're going to have to come together, right? You want to objectively determine what do your best accounts look like, what do the champions at those accounts look like, and also who is on that buying committee and how has that changed, especially over the past year. A lot of this information is probably going to be known by somebody on your marketing, sales, and customer success team. But this is where operations plays a really important role because you've got the data to confirm or dispel some of those rumors, right? And every year when you're going through your personalization work, especially as it relates to the buyer committee, I'd bet you're gonna find that there are certain personas and industries that are becoming more and more influential in your deal process, right? The dynamics have shifted for a lot of businesses. You know, maybe it's not an entirely new champion, but you find that there's this whole industry that's exploding right now. We should really do something about this from a marketing and sales perspective, right? Or hey, we're seeing the finance team get more involved than ever in our deals. How are we going to address their common concerns and pain points? The data is gonna be your best friend here to kind of quantify that and help bring some objectivity into that who definition process. Next, you wanna talk about where, right? In terms of where in the holistic buying journey from their first touch point with your brand through to their customer onboarding program, where are the conversions the most seamless, right? Where are those conversion rates really solid? And conversely, where are they really bad? And those two insights together are going to show you where you need to focus. Again, not trying to do it all at once here. If you realize the biggest area for improvement is, say, that demo book to held conversion rate, that's a very different answer in terms of what your go-to-market team should be prioritizing than like your lead engagement rate right at the top of the funnel. Or maybe it's some combination of the two. The data will tell you that. And you can use your learnings about what is working well to kind of inspire the what. And the next step in terms of what are those most common offers or pain points, or landing pages that people are really engaging with at each stage of the buying journey. And I say at each stage there because it's important to differentiate what's working for like that initial lead conversion, that email capture event, right, in your Marketo system or your map, versus what's actually leading someone to get into a meeting versus the last thing they do before they sign that contract with your sales team, right? You want to make sure you're identifying the top offers and mapping them to each funnel stage. Similarly, you want to identify patterns of like channels that those conversion activities are coming from. That's going to help you work with your marketing team to inform like your budget allocations, right, and where you're actually investing your dollars to solve those problems at each funnel stage. And I think one final subtle thing that I want to make sure we talk about here is the how and when your sales and customer success teams are going to be introduced. And I don't mean like once they pass a certain lead scoring threshold, right? That's a very like a numerical rule we've probably all set up to kind of automate a bunch of workflows. You want to think about the how because that's important. Your buyer is not going to know whether they're engaging with a marketing, a sales, or a customer success touch point, right? They just know they're talking to your brand. They're asking a question, they're downloading something, they're providing information. They don't know how the mapping works, right, on the back end. So you want to make sure that experience is really smooth for them because it can be frustrating beyond belief if you're providing all of this information in your research process, right? You're downloading all this content, you're giving people your information about your job title and your team and your common pain points. But then you pick up the phone with sales for the actual demo and it's like you're starting from ground zero. You know, they're like, oh, what are your major pain points? What are your biggest challenges? Who are you? That can be really frustrating as a buyer. And if you can get that handoff process to be really smooth and informed, you're going to create a really great experience and you're going to build a lot of trust with your buyers and your target market. So what can that look like? You want to be thinking about how to align your go-to-market team before anything ever goes live, like way far in advance, starting with your actual target account selection process. I think operations and marketing can be at the driver's seat of this conversation because we have access to that first-party data, that objectivity we were talking about to define that who, that where, and that what. So this is kind of our chance to come prepared to that conversation, right, with all of that objectivity. From there, you do want to get feedback from your sales and customer success teams on the who you're targeting, but also the when, right? Just to get that cross-functional awareness, alignment, so they know, hey, my accounts are going to get touched by this campaign this month, next quarter, next year. It kind of sets some expectations for everybody up front and creates that kind of two-way dialogue so that you can be working together. And a lot of the times, too, these teams are super interested in if the data says something different than what they're anticipating. That can be really valuable when you're doing your target account selection process every quarter, every 6 months, every year, however your company is operating. From there, you also want to make sure you're talking with these teams about the messaging for your campaigns. These teams spend all day, every day, especially sales and customer success, on the phone with your best buyers and prospects. Who better to know what kind of messaging might actually land in a conversation based on what people are actually saying during these calls? They usually have call recordings with these customers, demos you can listen in on. They're a really great sounding board and message chest for, hey, do you think this even's going to resonate before we get started here and invest all of these resources into planning this campaign? It's a really great first pulse check before you maybe talk to a prospect or a sample customer to kind of run the idea off them as well. Your sales and customer success teams are going to be really interested and they'll definitely give you feedback if they have thoughts about it. So a great ally there. And last but not least is the actual campaign enablement piece, and not to just skip off of this by creating, you know, a one sentence description that gets emailed out in some sort of a here's what's next newsletter. You want to make sure your marketers, your SDRs, your sales folks, your CSMs, they all understand what's going on from an ABM or a targeted personalized campaign perspective so that they can, again, pick up that phone and answer with context. And not what we just talked about earlier of like the, hey, who are you again? You want them to know who the buyer is, you know, maybe what products they've been promoted recently, if there is a pain point or a value driver you've promised you can help them with. You want that conversation to be a really seamless transition from marketing sales to customer success, right? And your enablement decks can really, really help with that. And a lot of this, as I'm sure I don't have to tell you guys as well, it's easier said than done, right, to get people actually involved in this process and behind it. So that's where I say just to come back to data. Like the pro tip here is the data is your best friend. Our friends over at Gartner recently found that companies are 3 times more likely to exceed their opportunity creation goals when their marketing, sales, and customer success teams are working together as one cohesive unit, right? So if you can do it well, it works. And to get there, I always recommend focusing on data because the actual results are what's going to drive cross-functional buy-in and being able to communicate those results out. Those that proof, right, is going to speak way louder than any anecdotal story about how important personalized marketing is or how important our target accounts are. And to do that, I really recommend focusing everyone's attention on like 1 to 2 core metrics, right? Are you trying to influence pipeline, expansion pipeline, right? A conversion rate into a meeting booked? Really identify like 1 to 2 metrics that you think are really going to be what you're going to focus on for this campaign and stick to them. Try to keep the story focused on how all the work you're doing combined is influencing those metrics so people don't lose sight of that end goal. And for that, you want to make sure you're creating a centralized report where everybody on the go-to-market team can be tracking your progress towards that goal, right? Picture, bar chart, line graph, something really visual and simple. It kind of creates a little bit of gamification as people see that number going up and up and up and up the longer the campaign runs, right? And that's the kind of thing that's going to bring excitement to these teams, especially in, you know, the sales, customer success, demand generation teams where a lot of us are focused all day, every day on pacing towards goals, right, and numbers. We're really bought into kind of that progress, checking the checkbox, you know, making sure we're continuously pacing and prioritizing towards our benchmarks. Having a centralized report where we can all check that together is a win-win and make sure everyone feels like they're on the same team here. And similarly with that, as operations professionals, you want to benchmark as much as you can. You know, achieving a goal is one thing, but also being able to communicate that that's X percent better than this time last year or this other campaign that we're running that's not personalized is where you're going to get, you know, that buy-in for more resources to support your work, right? So benchmark early and often, get it done before the campaign launches, you know, understand your meeting conversion rate, your average deal size, all those sorts of things. So that when you go back to your teams, you can not only communicate their end result, but also how much better that is. And similarly, if maybe something doesn't go according to plan, you're going to be able to pick up on it earlier because you're going to understand the conversion rates, right, and kind of readjust and replan as you go. Helps you get a little bit more agile. From there, we're on to what I consider to be the fun stuff, which is the actually how you deliver that personalization. And when I say personalization, I do not mean something that reads like, "Hi, Caitlin, I see you're the head of digital marketing at Drift and that you recently attended OpStars 2023 in San Francisco. How can I help you?" That's creepy, right? Picture what you'd say if I were to come up to you at your booth. You wouldn't say, "Oh, hi, Caitlin, I see you're XYZ." That would be creepy. "I've never met you before. How do you know who I am? I'm going to feel really creeped out by that." You're probably going to say something along the lines of, "Hey, what brought you to OpStars, right? You know, what were your questions that drove you to come stop by our booth," right? You're going to ask those kinds of qualifying conversations so you can have a human, contextual, and helpful conversation, right? That's the kind of personalization that's going to feel genuinely helpful to your buyer on their journey and not tokenized, robotic, programmed, or creepy. And in the back end, you can scale all that too. It's a similar kind of, "Hey, ask these questions to people who've engaged with these assets," right? Doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of one-to-one operations work to create something like this. You're just changing the actual message and trying to start a conversation with them. And of course, you know, that's where the be smart with your tech stack component comes in. I think a lot of people jump straight to the, "Okay, how do I include the first name token and more stuff?" That just shows you've got an enriched database. It's not showing that you actually understand your buyer, right? If you're, again, putting yourself in that buyer's shoes. So it wouldn't be a conference without some kind of a great metaphor or analogy, right, to something totally random. I'm going to pick an onion because I think it's kind of representative, right? When Shrek talks about peeling back the layers of an onion to get closer and closer to what somebody actually cares about, you can think of your personalized campaigns in the same exact way. And this also speaks to the fact that you don't have to jump straight into one-to-one, person-to-person ABM either. You can start at that outer company layer, right? Take all of that awesome firmographic data that you gathered back when you were defining your buyer journey to understand, all right, it's these industries, these company sizes, this general profile that I'm trying to work on, and what trends can I gather from the kinds of offers and channels they're engaging with to better understand their company objectives, their pain points, and the opportunities for them as a business, right? And similarly, how has their buying committee changed, right? What do the buying committees of these companies tend to look like so I understand who to target my offers to? And especially as you're working with these pain points and opportunities, that's very qualitative information that's going to be impossible for any one person to know, right? Any one marketing or salesperson or any one person looking at the data. So be sure to, again, ask that question to your companies, right? in your first campaign, phrase that conversion event as, hey, I'd love to help you with your problems. Is it this, right? Is it that? Give them a little bit of a choose your own adventure kind of a journey in your A-B testing and see what clicks in terms of where you're getting your hand raises before you take that message and then apply it all the way down to that one-to-one, person-to-person level. It'll enable you to be a little bit smarter with your resources and make sure if you are going to invest the time in really true one-to-one ABM, it's going to be the right bet because you've got the right message going into it at the beginning. And as you do get there, though, again, go back to your data, distill down those person insights, right? Who is that champion? Who is that buying committee? Similarly, what are the trends and the core objectives and pain points that they're searching? You know, and maybe how has the current climate impacted their decision, right? If you're targeting, say, a C-level executive at your target account list, how has their team changed, right? How might that inform their priorities or shift it or to give it a lens to it, bring that human element to it, and again, offer help and understanding and context, and the rest of the conversation tends to flow pretty seamlessly from there. Now, what does this all look like, right? This is an example of an actual campaign rerun. AppLynx is not a real company. That's generic, right? I won't target anyone under the bus. But you'll see how we're leading here with the actual like pain point messaging, right? That we've A-B tested at that one to few level and then brought down to the one-to-one level. So we know it's going to resonate. We're also message matching that pain point from the initial ad you see online to your actual landing page on drift.com. And that's for one of two reasons. One is to make sure that buyers know that they're in the right place, right? The messaging I see on the ad matches what I get when I click through, because there's nothing more awkward than clicking through on something and seeing something completely different. We want to make sure that's there as like a first gut check. But it's also going to build a level of trust with your buyer too of being like, okay, they really know about this pain point or this topic, right? If they're seeing advertising on it, they're hitting a landing page about it, as they navigate the site, they see that messaging in more and more places, depending on, you know, what they're engaging with and clicking through on. It's going to show them that, hey, Drift gets, you know what I mean, this pain point, and has an actual solution for it that they can help us solve with. From there, we're giving them several options for conversion, right? So if they do raise their hand and say, hey, I'm ready to learn more, they click that button. Presenting them with a choose-your-own-adventure kind of approach through a conversational marketing tool is a great way to do it, because you can offer one lane for people who say, hey, I'm really interested in talking to someone now, I'm ready to learn about the product, helps you fast-track them. If they do choose that option, we actually ask our sales and customer success team to record a really short, like 10-second video just introducing themselves, like, hey, I'm Caitlin, I'm excited to speak with you, click below to get my calendar. It helps the buyer put, again, a face to the name and shows there's a level of like human care and involvement in the process. Even if on the back end, it's only a 10-second ask of every individual sales rep, it's easy for them to accomplish, and it's a really great, smooth touch point while they wait for that first meeting to actually take place. Similarly, if they're a customer, right, you can have their CSM record a quick message, again, before they hop on that meeting, putting a face to the name, adding that degree of personalization right there up front. And if they say, actually, I'm not ready, that's okay. Focus again on being contextual and helpful. Suggest different pieces of content on the topic of the landing page, right? You know, say they're reading about your AI releases, right? Give them more AI-based content, right? Or if they're in sales, suggest other offers related to a sales persona, right? Be helpful and contextual. See what they engage with, and then tailor your nurture streams accordingly after that conversion so that when they hop out of that chat conversation, they're starting to get more and more content like that or for that persona. It's easy to set up on a one to few level in your map or your CRM, but can mean a lot and go a long way for your buyer in helping them navigate everything that you have to offer them. And if you can do it right, the results tend to speak for themselves. So for this campaign, compared to a more generic kind of, you know, one to many campaign, we saw a 5 times higher click-through rate on the actual ads themselves, again, because you're leading with that value-based messaging, it feels more personal and relevant. And we also saw a 50% higher conversion rate into actual meetings with our sales team and a 33% higher ROI on the campaign as a result. And this comes back a little bit to what we talked about with like those key KPIs and metrics, identifying them at the beginning. Bring those KPIs back here when you're telling the story of how these campaigns, for us, it's the ROI, right, on the spend for marketing. Make sure you're communicating that again, closing the loop, and also watching the numbers so you can figure out where that break-even point is in terms of increased personalization and diminishing returns. Some companies are going to find a lot of value in that true one-to-one individual person type targeting. Other companies might see, hey, you know what? After we do a one-to-few company name, it's about the same. It's about break even. It's going to help you get smarter with your go-forward plan and how you extend these campaigns over time. But I think that's about it for me for today. Thanks all for joining.
The OpStars podcast is brought to you by Lean Data. To find out more about us and our suite of Salesforce native products for marketing, sales, and revenue operations, head to leandata.com and then make sure to search for OpStars in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else that podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss on any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at OpStars and Lean Data, thanks for listening.